We at Tech Access Weekly would like to thank Saratech, Anansi Productions, AI Squared, and all other companies who have provided prizes to give away during episode 100.
The following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 100 for Wednesday, July 13th, 2011. In it to win it. Woohoo! Episode 100.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You sure?
I think so.
Huh.
Isn't that kind of the way we've been going with this?
I guess.
Episode 100.
I thought we just started at 100. No, that was one without the zeros.
This is the end. Oh. This is it. We're finished.
Yeah.
We're not doing any more episodes after this one.
Well, that's true.
This is it.
I mean, everybody should know that by now, that we're calling it quits after this. We've done all we can.
Yep, we've done all we can. We feel that there are other podcasts who do a very adequate job of providing news and views of the accessibility community in the tech arena, and we are just not needed and necessary anymore.
That's it.
So we're giving away prizes to
ease the pain.
Yes, ease the pain and celebrate the fact that we did at least exist for 2 years, a little less.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, maybe not.
Maybe not, but it was funny anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone is just dying laughing, rolling
on the floor.
But as one criticism says, this is Rodney and Aaron.
Yeah, valid point. We don't say our names a whole lot. They're on the website, sort of, and we've said them.
They're there under the
About Us. But they're not, out in plain view, and we don't say our names at the beginning of each episode. And, I mean, even Leo Laporte says his name, so maybe we should start doing that more.
Yeah, I mean, hey. We don't even pimp our email, our Twitter accounts or anything.
No.
If you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can follow Rodney Edgar,
no.
RodneyEdgar.
And if you would like to follow me, you can follow Aaron Edgar, ErinEdgar.
Okay, we've pimped.
Yeah, okay, that's done.
We're not mothers.
Okay, so throughout this episode, as the beginning said, we are going to be giving away some prizes since it's episode 100. And the people who guessed the secret password that was revealed in episode 99 have registered. And, we've picked numbers randomly with a random number generator.
Random.org.
Yes. I did that as a Tech Access Daily tip. One of them out there. We have several little bit doohickeys to give away. So
now,
we'll be doing it throughout this program.
Now, one thing that we did add was that we decided that we would give away a copy or two of ClearRecord for the iPhone or iOS devices because we've started to find that indispensable for recording things.
Oh, yeah.
And we're also going to give away the life-changing Downcast, which is for podcasts and listening to feeds and such that you
with
might
your
want to do.
Device rather than using your iPod on your device, you can use this app, and it is so worth it that we decided to give away a couple copies.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the functionality that's in that application, and I'm just kind of like, where has this been?
And why in the, why haven't I been using this the whole time I've had my iPhone?
And the only reason that I really found out about it was because I was listening to Leo Laporte's iPad today, and they were mentioning for the iPad how great it was.
There are a couple of other apps that do the similar thing, but this is by far and away total. It just blew me away. Have I done this as a tip?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did last week. Okay. Anyway, we're almost to 250, so I have a real hard time remembering what I've done and what I haven't done. Okay.
And it sometimes is a point of reference when she's trying to figure out, how in the heck do I do this? And then she's
I have to go back and look at my tips because there was a point when I did them constantly, would do like 10 at a time and would forget how to do what I was doing because I was doing them so quickly. The new things I learned.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Shall we start now?
Well, I will point out one little thing, that our intro music was from the 1977-78 TV series Soap, which was the actual password that several people commented into liking the way that we just sort of stuck it in there and didn't really give it any fanfare or anything.
Nope.
We kind of wanted to sort of do that just because if we put music or something around it, somebody might just fast forward and
get to something that sounded different and then start listening.
Yeah. And we actually confused one or two listeners because they actually thought the password was Bill O'Reilly. Which was kind of funny because two different people thought it was, because the next story following the secret password is was actually related to the Fox politics account on Twitter being hacked.
And we were joking that the password was probably Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, it was probably Bill O'Reilly. So we got some good laughs out of that one.
Yeah, and you thought the password was Batman, so you said the secret password is Batman originally, and I said no.
Hey, I gotta do
something. The secret password is soap.
While we're recording this thing, I gotta figure out if you're still awake over there or not.
Well, that's true. Sometimes it's a difficult thing. Okay, let us begin.
Why, yes, let's begin. Stories. Okay.
Yeah, stories.
Well, last week, Facebook started out with their video chat using the Skype technology. Very clean interface and everything.
Let's emphasize that it is called video chat.
Why, yes, video chat.
Because there is a clever little Facebook scam out there now that wants you to install the video call Facebook app.
Yeah, and this is a very simple virus, scam, malware going around. It really doesn't do anything to you other than spam all of your Facebook friends saying, hey, you got to try this out, install it, and all that. You might say, why in the world would Facebook in the first place have you download anything? Well, in order to actually use the video chat, you have to actually download a plugin to your computer in order to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of opened the door for that.
Right.
Then it also, the scam will actually say you need to allow this application access. And some people were saying, well, why in the world would Facebook ever ask you for permission to use anything on Facebook, because Lord knows they just automatically change it and open all your security settings wide open.
Right.
So kind of a oxymoron or a irony, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah. In other news, not so rambly, Microsoft Patch Tuesday was going on. There were four issues that were considered critical. One, which is a Bluetooth one. That
one kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, if you were on Windows XP, you do not have this problem. But if you have Windows Vista or Windows 7 before this patch came out, if you say we're sitting somewhere using a Bluetooth device on your computer, or say you have like a laptop and it has built-in Bluetooth capabilities, if a person was sitting within sight range of you, they would be able to actually try and break into your computer using the Bluetooth connection by sort of sending it a fake signal saying, hey, I want to pair with your computer here. Oh,
sniff,
you do?
Sniff.
Great. Apparently, in some instances, the auto detect in Windows was turned on, sort of a courtesy based on some of your settings, you know, sort of the
Windows thinks you might want these settings. Yeah, it tends to do that sometimes.
Yeah, it sometimes does that. So that's kind of how it would get on. If you want, you can check out the security bulletin. Look for it on Microsoft's support site. And there is actually a command that you can run from the run command that will actually delete that driver from your computer if you're that paranoid about it.
This, of course, means that you won't be able to use Bluetooth devices.
Yeah. And
so just a precaution there.
And there were also three other important Office tweaks and security fixes that were going on. So it's kind of a light week, but
Very important updates at the same time.
Yeah. So you definitely want to run the automatic update, which you should always be doing and have automatically set up on your computers.
Yes.
In other wonderful security things, Anonymous, the hacking group that you don't know who they are, they had a situation on Monday called Military Meltdown Monday. I thought it was Manic Monday, but
I almost wanted to call this podcast Manic military manic Monday, but I refrained.
Yeah.
These folks from Anonymous hacked into the servers of a private company that stores information about military training, people in training and things. And they hacked in there and downloaded 90,000 records.
Yeah. Pretty much picked up their usernames, passwords, and such. It affected a consultant company called Booz Allen Hamilton.
Yes.
B-O-O-Z. That's kind of interesting name. Almost kind of asked for it because of their name. The passwords and information were actually hashed, so any of the information that did actually leak will be difficult to decrypt and actually use for anything. Especially the passwords. Usernames might be a little bit easier to do.
And what repercussions will this have for Anonymous?
I don't know, but if I was going to try and hack somebody, I probably wouldn't do the military, because that's people you don't want to mess with. Read the book Area 51 or something. Check into that. There's things we don't know about out there that, might get you caught, unfortunately.
What they've been doing.
Just a warning there.
Just thinking.
And in another thing, Apple is most likely going to release a patch in the next week or so to plug a hole that was there last year.
Thought had been plugged.
Some estimates think that it was plugged, but then other updates unplugged it.
Yeah, this is one of the first updates to iOS 4. It was to fix the Adobe PDF hole or whatever that allowed you to run Jailbreak Me and jailbreak your iPhone in that particular way. We actually demonstrated how to do that.
I believe that was Tech Access Daily Tip number 9.
Yes. And that was allegedly fixed, but now the exploit has resurfaced and they're going to put out another iOS update to fix it again.
Yeah. So you'll probably be getting a new update to the firmware coming either next week, probably, or the week after.
Fab.
Should be a small, simple one, hopefully.
Hopefully. They've been getting smaller.
Yeah, but you still have to download the whole thing, 660 megabytes or whatever it is.
Time to give away a prize now.
Not quite yet.
No?
We're going to make them wait just a little bit longer.
Oh, I thought it was time.
No. In other wonderful news, talking about products and things being given away. What a segue there. Hot diggity dang. The Amazon Cloud Drive service is actually going to be going unlimited. Well,
sort of, so to speak.
The Cloud Drive system where you can actually store your music, photos, and documents and such actually gives you 5 gigabytes for free. If you purchase an album, you can get 20 gigabytes for free. Well, if you purchase for $20 a year, you can get their service unlimited, and this is only for a limited time. So if you're very interested in having all of your music stored in the cloud on Amazon, you might want to jump on that.
Yeah, it doesn't say how long it's going to last, but if you purchase 20 gigs, non-album related,
if you actually purchase
an album, you have to pay for it.
I think it's like $25.
Something like that.
So if you pay the $25 for 1 year, you can have unlimited. But I think if you keep the subscription going, you would be able to keep that unlimited drive space.
Probably.
Probably an answer trying to figure out if Google is actually going to do Google Music unlimited continuous after they come out of beta in 5 or 6 years.
But I still need to apply, accept that invitation. I haven't done it yet. They even sent me a reminder message.
Yeah, you might want to do that just so you go ahead and get that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seems kind of nice. They give you some free music to go along with it so that you can actually try out the system. Smells like a daily tip, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That and the Cloud Player.
Now,
which I was going to do that before I went on my unexpected travel trip and have still not gotten back around to it.
Yes.
I totally forgot how to do it. Now I have to learn it all over again.
Now that's a good news announcement. Now for a bad news announcement.
Oh.
Netflix is getting all sorts of heck out there on social media because they are changing their pricing plans yet again. You know that they do DVD rentals by sending you physical DVDs. They allow you to stream it to your iOS devices or television using other apparatuses like a Roku player or something. You can watch it on your computer. Well, right now you can get both of those services for $9.99. Starting September 1st, you are going to have two different plans. You can get the DVD-only plan for $7.99, unlimited returns per month, one DVD at a time. The streaming will also be $7.99, so you'll have to either buy both or pick. So you can get the two combined for $15.98. Now, a lot of people on the internet are going crazy because you can get this for $10, and now they're wanting $16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's becoming a little bit of a heated thing. But when you think about it, it probably still is cheaper than if you were to actually head down to the old video store and try to pick up something.
I mean, the streaming is definitely worth it.
Yeah, the streaming is very worth it.
And even the $8 for the month is worth it. I mean, you don't have a limit as to how many DVDs you can get, one at a time, but...
Well, as long as you watch and return
right.
type of thing. And then I keep thinking about the fact that, okay, you can watch some shows on streaming,
mm-hmm.
but then some shows actually do not have all of the episodes. You have to actually
get the
disc. For example, we were thinking about starting to watch maybe Quantum Leap. Even though I think they've probably screwed up the episodes anyway because they removed all of the like hip music because of royalty issues.
Oh man, that just got me irritated.
Yeah, but the first three episodes of Quantum Leap, you actually have to get the DVD. Why? I don't know.
We still have yet to do that.
But the rest of the seasons are on streaming.
Yep.
If you wanted to see Welcome Back Cotter from the 70s.
Welcome
you have to get the,
back.
Yeah, exactly. You have to get the DVDs. You can't actually stream it as of yet. So it's frustrating. Still cheaper than going to the movies. Cheaper than renting in the video store. You know, no return fees or anything like that.
But still.
Yeah. Still a little irritating. And they're actually finally starting to get a little bit of bad press.
Yeah.
So anyway, now what were you saying?
Oh, we have a prize to give away.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what company and prize is it that we are going to give away at this point, Vanna?
This would be Stem Stumper.
By?
Anansi Productions.
Good, because I didn't want to try and say that, because I butcher it every time. Just like that Patel guy's name. I always screw that up, too.
Prateek.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can never say David Partrick's last name.
True.
You got a bunch of problems. Okay, giving away Stem Stumper.
Giving away Stem Stumper. We have three wonderful copies of that. So, before this podcast began, we used random.org to randomly select users that did not specify that they already had Stem Stumper. So, if you already have Stem Stumper or you do not have an iPhone or iPod Touch, sorry. The selections for this were Casey Weeks, Linda Swanson, and Marcus Johnson, the 11-year-old who listens to us for some reason.
In Tennessee.
Yes, from the School from the Blind. For the Blind.
Yeah.
From. I can't speak.
No. Yes. Gee, this isn't new.
Okay, Yankee. Anyway, congratulations to you folks, and we will be sending out the three promo codes to you probably tomorrow. At some point.
In other words, each of you gets one promo code.
Well, yeah.
Repeat the names again.
The names are Casey Weeks, mm-hmm. Linda Swanson, and Marcus Johnson.
Proud owners of Stem Stumper.
Yes.
And we'll get those out to you tomorrow.
Fun, addictive game that will drive you insane.
Me? Literally.
Yes.
I can't even play it anymore without going nuts.
Yeah, because you get stuck on one round and you just can't get past it.
I can't get past it.
Even
you
though I
describe
it.
You can get past it and you describe it, but I, for some reason, am just like totally stuck. Okay.
Anyway, moving right along. See, this is sort of a segue because that's an iOS app that'll work on the touch and the iPhone. Apple News will basically say that there have been surveys done about mobile devices and... In a one-month period, a company did a survey, and they found that iOS users play games. A company did a survey for 30 consecutive days looking at iOS users. They found that 64% of them play games. 93% of them will actually pay to play a game. which I don't quite understand.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I guess you have to pay. You pay for the game, and then some people will actually pay in-app purchases.
Oh.
Also.
Oh, okay.
So 93% of them act like they were going to do that type of thing. iOS device users during that 30-day period also played more than anybody else. They actually played for 14 hours. They did actually look at Android users, which also had kind of the same amount of gameplay, but not quite as much.
They only played 10 hours.
Yeah, they only played just a little under 10 hours at a time. The average was like 7.8 hours for the entire month across mobile platforms. The numbers for that were skewed a little because of BlackBerry users not playing games or Windows Mobile users, well, not really existing.
Yeah, well.
And in another survey, they have found that Verizon, even though they were thought to have weak sales for the iPhone 4, actually makes up 32% of U.S. cell phone market.
For the iPhone. That really did surprise me.
Yeah, because everybody was saying, it's just not selling. Mm-hmm. But in just a few months, what did it do? It came out in February?
Yeah, February. Yeah,
mid-February, and it's already at 32% of the market.
That's insane.
As iPhone users.
Not selling my foot.
Exactly. Shut the front door.
Exactly.
Had to use that somewhere along the line.
Yes.
And 25%. Now, this one gets me. 25% of cell phone users use their cell phone as their primary internet access.
That's bizarre.
Now, your mother does that.
Well, no.
Somewhat.
Not primary. Mm. She has a computer that she uses most of the time. If she's on the road, of course, she uses her cell phone.
Yeah.
Or at someone's house and she wants to check her email. But not primary.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite get that one. But I guess if you need to look things up and you don't have high-speed internet,
I mean, maybe it
may be as fast as your broadband.
Maybe it goes on what people are saying, too. Like, maybe some people are just on the go all the time and not really at home a lot.
Maybe.
And they feel that it's their primary device because they have it with them 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that if you're a parent, you schlep your kids all these places, you go do stuff with your kids on the weekend, you've got other stuff going on, and you just, don't really have time to sit in front of the computer for long periods, but you have time to whip out your cell phone every so often and sneak a check at your email.
And I mean, cost for data plans are expensive, so maybe they're paying enough that they can just afford that.
Maybe.
So, I don't know. In other news related to the iPhone, AT&T is planning to start offering insurance.
iPhone insurance. They're going to start offering iPhone insurance on July 17th of this year. It is $4.99 per month per number. So if you have like two iPhones in your household or something, different numbers, different policies. $4.99 per month. And depending on your iPhone model, the deductible per claim is either from $50 to $125. The insurance covers accidental damage that occurs above and beyond the warranty period. Damages may include accidental liquid spills, accidental dropping, and of course, it includes loss or theft.
Now, when you read this story, you were kind of like, well, that seems a little expensive and ridiculous, but if you're somebody that's prone to losing your phone for $125, you can get a new iPhone 4.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and you're a little bit safer that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And to those people who ask, well, if you have to get a new phone, will you get your same model or will you get the updated model? I don't know. My guess is, if the iPhone 5 comes out, would you get an iPhone 5? My guess would be probably not.
I would believe it would probably come down to the fact of what do they have in supply.
Yeah.
If, say, you had a 3GS and you dropped it in a pool or something and they didn't have 3GSs anymore, they weren't manufacturing them, that might cause you to get an iPhone 4.
Yeah, and you would have to pay the difference.
I don't think I would just say, I've cracked this, I'm just going to throw it in the water. I don't know that I would go that far.
No, I don't think so.
And in other Apple news, the Apple Store has finally hit 15 billion downloads.
And
$2.5 billion
to developers.
Which is kind of interesting. everybody's complaining that Apple takes too much money, but they are paying out.
So they are indeed.
There's money in those apples. Anyway, now we get another prize.
Yay!
We're going to give away our special Downcast and Clear Record editions.
Woohoo!
Now, in order to do this, we will contact you by email, and which will probably be before you ever hear this, maybe not. You will need to send us your iTunes account email address so that we can actually gift this to you. Unfortunately, we are in the U.S., and if you happen to be outside of the United States, we'll have to pick someone else, unfortunately, because we can't gift outside of the U.S., according to store regulations.
Yes, because we are purchasing these ourselves. We're not getting these from the companies.
Yes,
now, the companies could probably do that cool stuff.
Yeah, we're doing this out of the pee-pick and kindness of our hearts.
Yes. Oh, isn't that sweet?
Oh, boy. Anyway, our winners are for the Clear Record iOS app that will work on iOS devices such as the Touch and the iPhone. Goes to Travis Peterson and David Partrick.
Yay, he said it right. Woo!
I worked on it. I've been staring at the name for like 10 minutes.
Partrick.
Partrick.
Yes.
The guy who sings the I Unfriended You on Facebook that you can find on
iTunes.
Good listen if you haven't checked
the
it out.
Under his artist name, which is Par Trick.
Yes. That's what screws me up when I think of his name, because he splits it in there.
Because he splits it. Yeah. Okay.
Now, as far as Downcast, which is also available for downloading RSS feeds like TechXS Weekly and TechXS Daily Tips.
Yes.
That goes out to Sarah Russell and Sandy Thompson, who has provided information before to us on the Android platform. So that's a good thing.
Yay!
Thank you all four for applying. And surprise, we threw in something different than what you might have been expecting.
Yep. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah. And again, I will send out an email to you requesting your iTunes information. And if everything goes well, we can get that out to you.
Yeah.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Freebies.
Gotta love them.
And now into accessibility, mobile accessibility.
Yes, mobile accessibility from Code Factory. This is the suite of apps that Code Factory has developed for the Android platform. Yes, Code Factory is going to be releasing version 1.4 of mobile accessibility for the Android platform. They have made some adjustments to the web browser in their suite of applications, and they've also included some minor bug fixes. This is a minor free update, so there are no real big glaring things to talk about here. Just the fact that you might want to get that from the Android store, Android Marketplace, as soon as possible.
Yeah, and it's like the browser is $6, I believe.
Nope, we're not there yet.
Oh.
That's a sort of separate topic.
Oh, sort of separate topic.
Yeah, mobile accessibility by Code Factory is that suite of 10 apps that allows blind people to, you know, access the iPhone and or Android. And it's got a browser and a calendar and an email client and all this kind of thing. Well, they are now shipping the browser and a music player as standalone apps. This means that you don't have to buy the whole mobile accessibility suite in order to use them. You can use whatever screen reading alternative you've currently got on your Android, but if you're not happy with the browsing experience that it provides or the access to any music player that it provides, you can use Code Factory's standalone editions of those things. The web browser is $19.99, and the music player is $5.99 in the Android Marketplace.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
I'd almost be tempted just to purchase that whole suite for, what is it, like $95 US or something?
$95, I believe it is.
Something like that. But if you think about it, if you're buying those two things, that's $27 right there, and you can get $10 for $95.
Yeah, I guess they're just trying to answer some of the criticism that people gave them over the big suite of things. Well, what if I don't want it? Well, okay, pay for it.
Right, I understand that.
You know, so, But anyway, I will toss this out there. If anyone knows how to root and install additional versions of Android on a phone, please let us know, because I just recently had someone give us a Google G1. Granted, it's an old ancient phone, but it does run Android, and it's sitting on 1.6, which I believe is Donut.
I think. And we would really like it to run gingerbread.
Something
or
newer.
Honeycomb,
yeah,
or something like
and
that.
And I just haven't figured out exactly all the little steps and pieces and things. So if you know of good resources for doing that, please let me know.
Thank you.
So anyway. Now, in other mobile type information, mobile for a while, there is a wonderful tactile touchscreen.
Yeah, this is being developed by a Swedish company, and they are tactile pixels, called Tixels, that can be put onto touchscreens so that you can technically feel them raised up from the screen. This is similar to the haptic technology, which allows your fingers to sense vibrations above a screen, but yet they're more touch-oriented. And I can't really be very specific because I haven't felt them and I don't really understand it. But they appear to be cheaper to manufacture than, say, actual dots or a braille display. So this would lead some people to believe that they are trying to make it so that blind people will be able to read Braille directly on a touchscreen with these little Tixels.
Yeah, and this is by a company that is located in Sweden called Senseg, S-E-N-S-E-G, eSense Technology.
It seems like I've heard of them before. I'm not sure if it was this particular thing I heard of, but it seems like several months ago I saw a story by them that they were doing something else similar.
Yeah, so they're thinking that this may assist with reading Braille on, say, your cell phone screen or maybe even a video, like regular LCD screen.
Right.
They're even talking about being able to make like what you would feel as being knobs in order to do mobile gaming.
I just don't get this. This creeps me out. I'm sorry, but it really does.
I guess it's just the sensation, you know, kind of like haptic keyboards. You sort of touch it and it sort of feels like you did actually click something. I guess. I don't know. It's the kind of screen that can reach out and touch you.
I guess. Boy. Okay, Gomer, let's move along.
Now, here's one that just does not make any sense if you read the description. Well, the title. Insert coin, prosthetic eye digital camera.
Yeah, if you read the title, you're kind of like, there's a vending machine that sells prosthetic eyes.
I want my chips.
Exactly. I want chips. I don't want a stupid eye. That's not exactly what this is. There is a woman in San Francisco who has petitioned Kickstarter for $15,000 to create a prosthetic eye that can take pictures with a webcam so that she can see not only out of her good eye, but also out of her prosthetic so she can have binocular vision again. She had been in a car accident or something and lost one of her eyes. And she wants to be able to see clearly with that eye and have that sort of integrate and sync with her other eye. We have heard about some people who've been developing similar things, but I think the only things that are in development right now are like really rudimentary cameras that tell people that there are objects there, and give them some dimension, but not really any resolution.
Yeah, where it's like looking normal.
Yeah. So this is what she wants. She has an idea for the device, but just not the funding or the engineering skills, you know, to pull it off. So she's asking for, a little bitty teeny web camera that can be small enough to insert into her prosthesis and also be connected to an external device wirelessly that will control it. We have an article in our show notes that does point to a video that will show what exactly she's looking for.
Yeah.
And she's trying to petition Kickstarter, and somehow I think it's going to cost more than $15,000. I'll just go out on a limb there.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I don't know. It seems like, yeah, the $15,000 is just not going to quite do it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think it's a really cool idea, though.
Yeah, it's hard to get sort of a idea of how that would work.
I don't know how it would work in synchronizing the image. Wouldn't there be like overlap?
I would think there would be overlap, or
you're the one who can see, I can't. But I'm just thinking if she took a picture and the picture was,
I don't know how you get to where you can combine the two images.
That's what I'm trying
to
do.
Where you see left and right.
Right.
That's I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, moving right along.
Anyway, a regional airline finally was sued over accessibility.
Yes, finally. This airline flies, takes people on. It's kind of a subcontractor with United Airlines and Delta, I believe, something like that. Hmm. And it's in the Southeast United States. And it has been sued by various travelers who say that they were not given proper assistance when they, would disembark and get onto planes, primarily people in wheelchairs. And, Delta was sued for this very same thing several months ago and granted a big verdict. And this other airline has been granted a verdict of $175,000 the plaintiffs were granted. Not the airline, the people in the lawsuit. The airline must use $75,000 of that to improve their accommodations for people with disabilities. It seems a little low. What else are they going to do with that other $100,000,
$125,000? Yeah.
I don't know. Huh.
That's where you always get left at. How much are they actually going to? What are they going to use it for?
Right.
Extra
training for their flight attendants.
That could be a possibility.
But then what about all the rest of it? What are they going to use all the rest of it for? That's not designated to be used for that.
I don't know.
So.
Have no idea.
Hmm.
But in other crazy news, Verizon has finally paid $20 million to settle a disability case.
Yeah, with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission brought a claim against Verizon because people were not being granted medical leave accommodations. They're disabled. They needed medical leave. They needed what's called reasonable accommodations. And Verizon was not giving it to them. So essentially, they granted these people $20 million in compensation. Also, the big deal with this lawsuit was that Verizon, they claimed that their regulations were not clear enough about what constituted reasonable accommodations, what they were required to take into consideration. So part of the deal was they had to redraft their regulations, and now they have done that. They feel they can avoid this thing happening again in the future.
Yeah, that one's bizarre.
I know.
Yeah.
Moving right along,
Disneyland is actually going to give you an audio guided tour.
Yeah, this has been in the works for quite some time now, but it's been rolled out finally. It's sort of like a not GPS like you would think of turn by turn directions, but it's got a GPS chip in it so that wherever you are in the park, you carry this little device with you if you're visually impaired, and it describes your surroundings based on your location in the park. It doesn't tell you how to get to various places, but it tells you what's around you, what kinds of things you can do, and gives you descriptions of, like Sleeping Beauty's castle or the rides that are around you or the Matterhorn or whatever.
Yeah.
So some people really like it. The one person that I did read an article about said that he wanted turn-by-turn directions. It didn't do that yet. Disneyland says it's working on that. No word yet about whether they're going to roll this out in Florida or not at Disney World.
I don't know. It's evidently a targeted point of interest type of thing.
Right? Yeah, kind of.
Sort of like a guided tour in a museum you might go to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it's like.
So, Well, I came up with something good. Hot diggity. Now, in less legal things, there's a new CCTV attachment.
You understand this. I really don't. It's the Read It Wand. It is being sold by GW Micro, manufactured by another company, sold by GW Micro. I don't quite get it. You hook it to the monitor. And
well, it looks like you can either hook it to the monitor you hook it to a monitor by cable. So you're sort of attach it to it in that regards, and it's sort of a stand-up thing, and it has an arm on it that you put papers and books and documents under, and it takes a picture, and then it sends it to the computer screen so that you can actually read it. So it's kind of like a hover cam, kind of like what Saratech is putting out with the DocuScan Plus that you can get.
And kind of like the Pearl from Freedom Scientific.
Yeah, it apparently will allow you to import and export documents and images that you have recognized. I guess the difference between it and DocuScan Plus is DocuScan goes to the cloud in order to do the transcription, and this wand actually does it on the actual unit or maybe with software. It wasn't really 100% clear as to how it's doing the actual translation.
And there's no price on the website that we could find for this device.
Yeah, they want you to call. I don't want to call.
Yeah.
I don't like people. I don't want to call.
Okay, then you don't have to.
Okay,
you
good.
You don't want it anyway.
I won't. Sounds like it could be cool. But
it does.
I don't know. Be interesting to find out how it differs from using a hover cam.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like it's about the same size as, say, a umbrella. You know, one of the little small, short umbrellas that you might carry in your bag or something for impromptu storms or such. So, that's interesting.
Okay.
New twist on the portable camera.
Yes.
And now we can go into yet another prize giveaway.
This is for the Zoom Reader and Zoom Contacts app for the iPad.
And iOS devices in terms of the Zoom Reader.
Yes.
These products are graciously provided by AI Squared, the makers of Zoom Text and Zoom Reader and Zoom Contacts now. You can get more information at AISquared.com and mobile.AISquared.com. The interesting thing in doing this sort of giveaway is the fact that not that many people have iPads. Or at least we're not really that interested in the Zoom contacts. But we did actually get a flurry of people right at the very end of registration. So that is a good thing.
Yeah. And part of the problem with the Zoom contacts is it is A, for the iPad, and B, only for people with low vision.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that maybe they'll actually come out with an iOS version because the way that you can increase the fonts and change the background colors and things might actually be useful on the smaller screen.
Right.
So maybe they'll do that. Anyway, we tried to pick folks that either had an iOS device or actually had some vision in order to try and use this because Zoom Reader is one of those things where it helps to take pictures if you can actually see the edges of the paper and things like that. Does improve your scans. Anyway, for Zoom contacts for the iPad, because they did not specify that they do not have an iPad, they are Rod Skeen, S-K-E-N-E, Chad Rohr, R-O-H-R, Randy Rusnick of the Accessible Devices podcast, who said that they've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but they're coming back soon with more episodes.
Soon, he says.
So check out accessible-devices.com. And Darren Wicks of the UK will be.
So who won which one? You need to specify.
Zoom Contacts is the first one. Chad Rohr, Rod Skeen, Randy Rusnick, and Darren Wicks of the UK are going to all get a promotional code for Zoom Contacts by AI Squared for the iPad.
Okay.
If you are not one of those people that actually has an iPad, but you think at some point you may be getting one, you can always download the app and just keep it there.
Yeah.
I have to confess, I've downloaded a few apps for iPad because they were free promotionally, and I'm kind of like, someday I might get an iPad.
Yeah, so if one of you doesn't have an iPad, but you think you might get one, go ahead, use the promo code, download it, keep it.
Yeah. You know. Find a friend. Spread the word about Zoom Contacts by AI Squared. And for
we're
Zoom...
We're not encouraging you to give these promo codes away,
no,
by the way.
No. We're just saying that spread the word, get the word out about the different applications, and try and use it as best you can. And
Zoom Reader.
For Zoom Reader, the winner of that was Tom Grider, G-R-Y-D-E-R. He was one of the users that said that he had an iOS device, and he was mostly blind, but he does have some usable sight. So I'm hoping that Zoom Reader will actually be able to help him get a little bit more access to newspapers and documents.
Good.
So Tom Grider, G-R-Y-D-E-R, will be getting a copy of Zoom Reader from
AI Squared.
Exactly. What were you thinking?
A 50-year-old woman is suing a 35-year-old man over a Facebook relationship gone awry. She is claiming that their Mafia Wars interaction strengthened into a full-blown love affair and he left her in the dust. She is suing him for $8,300 in change. To cover a variety of claims such as misrepresentation, defamation of character, promissory estoppel, emotional distress, and, oh, by the way, a plane ticket that she was going to use to go and see him before he started posting nasty things about her and she in turn started posting nasty things about him on each other's Facebook walls.
Supposedly, they were spending lots of time together
online
before and after work using the Mafia Wars game.
He says, no, they were just playing the game. She says they were doing other stuff.
Mm.
So.
Touché.
Yes.
Do tell.
So that is that. Boy, only $8,000?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
I mean, you know, usually when you sue somebody, she's going to get more than that in attorney's fees. Maybe she's suing for $8,000 plus attorney's fees, but still.
So, yeah, if you run across this, and two, the guy was an Applebee's employee. What that had to do with the article, I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
But she was 50, he was 35.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Cougar.
Robbing the Cradle.
Cougar Town.
That's it.
God, I hate that show.
Oof, it's scary. Scary bad.
And now.
For the grand prize finale.
Yes. Thanks to the makers of the Seratalk podcast and Seratech.com, the makers of DocuScan Plus.
System Access Mobile Network and System Access to Go and System Access. Whew. Yeah.
You can find 7-day trials for some of those products if you go to Seratech.com.
But we are not just giving away a 7-day trial of Samnet. Oh, no. We are giving away a year's subscription to the Samnet service.
Yeah, they kind of floored me with that. We were kind of like,
Can we have a month's worth to give away?
Maybe just a month, you know, something like that. But they were gracious enough to say, hey, we'll just give you a year.
That is absolutely fantastic.
They evidently have never listened to this podcast.
Evidently not, which is weird because they say they have.
Yeah, I think they lie about it.
I think they do, too.
They probably use it for bug fixes, you know. Probably. Let's see if the podcast will work through Samnet. It didn't break.
Well, let's see if we can get it on iBlink Radio. Oh, it didn't break. Okay. Mm. Okay. The winner of the wonderful Samnet.
1 year subscription is Jenny Owens. G-I-N-N-Y.
Yay, Jenny.
Hot diggity dang.
And so,
I think her nickname here in her email is pretty cool, though.
What is it?
Chick Power Music.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Hopefully she listens to the Melting Pot on Mushroom FM.
Yes, at 7 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday.
Yeah, 7 to 10 p.m.
Woohoo!
Shameless plug there to fit in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, congratulations to Jenny for winning the Samnet subscription. A lot of good chat rooms and promotions that they do over there.
An email client and links to some audio described movie database. And
recipes, I believe.
Recipes and all sorts of things they have up there.
So, congratulations to all of our winners who registered and
got the secret password correct.
Exactly. Which we started our show with.
Today.
Because we're kind of obsessed with soap. So far,
we've watched like 16 episodes of the first season so far in approximately 3 weeks.
2 weeks. We've watched one a day practically for almost 2 weeks straight.
Ooh.
So that sounds a little sick and twisted, but not that bad.
Well, 2.5 weeks, because it was like 2.5 weeks ago that we heard about soap on Jonathan Mosen Explosion.
Well, I knew
he was
soap,
talking. Well, he was talking about
it.
Well, he was talking about it, and that's what prompted us to see if it was on Netflix.
Exactly, exactly.
And prompted me to find the theme and stuff.
Yeah, and you'd sort of have interest in it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's got Billy Crystal when he was really young, and he plays like a homosexual guy that is confused about everything.
Yes,
that's kind of amazing.
That is really funny.
So
anyways, very controversial for its time.
Very.
And it has
very.
Benson in it from Benson.
Yeah. But before he was really Benson.
Well, wasn't he the same character?
I don't know if it was the same character carried over to the Benson show. I'm not sure. I don't really remember. I never watched Benson that much.
Hmm. Anyway, Benson the Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Robert Guillaume.
Was that his name?
Yes, I believe so.
I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Huh. Okay.
Maybe you'll listen to this podcast and find out who played Benson. Or maybe I just told you. Either way.
I think you just told everybody.
Okay.
Anyway, this absolute mess that you have been listening to is
Tech Access Weekly, episode
100.
If you would like to find out about stories we mentioned or stories that we only considered for this podcast, you can go to delicious.com/techaccess/100. Yes.
And we will post for a limited time the winners of our prizes on our website.
Yes. We will give you their credit card information and email accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and the mailing addresses if we have them, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We will post names up there and all that other jazz. And winners, we will contact you via email within the next day or so. to get all your information straightened out.
Yes. And thanks again to AI Squared, Sarah Tech, and
Anansi Productions.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I say it too much like a redneck.
Yeah.
We thank those companies for providing us with the little goodies, and we'll talk to you probably next time, unless this really is the end.
Is it?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
But we'll just say bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.